Crash Course Live is presented by
Smash It Demolition Derby, who hosts Bash for Cash, Blizzard Bash, and Capital City Carnage. Online at smashitderby.com. And Stirring Dirt Racing, host of Maymania's team show at the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah. Online at stirringdirtracing.com.
Reckless Abandon Derby Apparel and Derby Inc. Magazine. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, episode number 256 on deck. We're going to like to wish everybody a very happy new year. Hope everything is going well for you as we kick off 2019. We're starting our conversation with the first big derby, the biggest outdoor derby in February in Minnesota. We're going to be talking with Randy Maslowski about Winter Slam. That'd be a good one. But before we jump into that, some of the Demolition Derby League standings are out. Nephi taking tops, and cool to see San Filippo Smash slipping in their fifth place.
Yeah, we that one, the number one, kind of surprised some people. I think there might have been some people that got together in that county and did some voting, but hey, it's all good.
That derby paid some good money to win, though.
Yeah.
They shelled it out.
It's all good. You know, no real big surprises. Congratulations to San Filippo. Definitely being recognized for what it is. I mean, that's a hell of a derby. You know, that's a real accomplishment for Jeremy and the crew. So congratulations to those guys. Also, real quick, I don't know if you saw it or not, but Dan Snyder from Bath, passed away.
I did not see that.
Dan and his brother Dougie were legends in the area. They did a lot of winning over the years. Kind of the first guys from New York to go out and travel and do some demoing across the country, and they ran some of the first dent shows. And apparently, Big Danny had been sick for about a year and just succumbed to cancer. So best wishes to all his friends and family down there in Bath. Tough to read, man. I Dougie and Danny, I really looked up to those guys. You know, when I was just getting into Derby and not knowing hardly anything, I just walked up to them in Candega once and started asking them stuff about Mopars. And for whatever reason, they took a liking to me. And, you know, always any questions I had, they'd help me out. And good guys. So.
And you got lucky.
I did.
Because if they didn't like you.
Yeah, it would have been bad. Think of the family and friends, and Snyder brothers are now derbying in heaven, I guess. Hopefully they got a lot of shockers.
There's another generation coming around.
Yeah.
We saw another generation of Snyders really kick-starting it down in
Dan
in,
Jr. and Dougie's daughter. I can see her. Tasha.
Yeah.
Tasha Snyder. So
yep, they did just fine down there.
They did.
They had a shoemaker that was running with them too down there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Can't remember his name, first name. Unfortunately, sorry. I want to say Dave, but I think I'm wrong.
Yeah. I don't recall either. But it was an impressive run.
Yeah.
And if I remember right, one of them was a really, really nice color blue with chrome 68 on the side.
That's little Danny. Yep.
Yeah, it was pretty familiar. Looked a lot like Big Dad's cars.
Yep.
But, I don't know if we're going to see a whole lot of shockers at Winter Slam, though, this year.
We've seen some Mopars up there back in the day. We've seen a few nice racers up there.
There's been a handful of them, but they've never been in Victory Lane that I can recall.
No. We've seen some Mad Dogs.
Kenny Rosno
got a Mad Dog with a I think it was a Cordoba.
Kenny Rosno got?
Yeah, he had a Cordoba once.
The black and yellow one with the Blizzax?
Yep.
And then Josh got an award there one time. Sam Bando's run very well with them, but otherwise.
Yeah, never been a winner.
No, not yet.
I think they might have won the truck show. I think we might have seen some Dodge Ram pickups win a truck show, but
I'm trying to think back over all the wreckage that we've seen up there, and it's never a dull moment, never a bad show. Coming up, and correct me, Randy, where I'm wrong, February the 9th, 2019, a little over a month away. Is everything coming together?
Yeah, actually it is. We had some seating issues last year. We got to come up a little short on, even with the cold weather, we still had some seating issues. So we, Brandon Thomas with the fair board, the fair board itself went and purchased a bunch of bleachers, and Brandon got them all set up. There are some permanent structures that they'll be able to have year-round to be able to help their fair as well. And,
yeah,
and I think we're, from the way Brandon talked, we should almost have seating on all four sides of the arena other than what the entrance will be. So I think we got our seating stuff all taken care of. Still going to have the swap meet in the morning. Got a few clothes coming in for that, getting ready. I spoke with Jonathan Muse this morning. He is going to do runner-up hardest hitter $50 gift certificates in every class.
Cool.
And, of course, we'll have Terry Evans with badass trophies for the hardest hitter, along with the cash that we provide as well.
Very cool.
What else we got going on here? After party. The same band that we've had here the last couple of years had a different booking, so we did have the change of band. And we've got Hit Town Mafia playing back there. What used to be the Best Western, they changed hands again.
Oh, now, man. You've had no luck with that.
It is now called the Norwood Inn. Luckily, though, when we left last year, we signed all the contracts, thanks to my wife pushing that, and went down and signed them. So we had everything in paper, so the transition wasn't quite so bad this year. But we'll see how things pan out. I think everything's going to go according to plan as last year. There is a couple of the employees that were still there from last year as well. So
that's what
the transition won't be any rougher.
That's what, the third time that place has changed hands while you've been working with them?
I've lost track because several times 6 months later, I've got a call back and I don't get the same person again.
Sure. I mean, that's turnover.
They're very accommodating, so we'll work through it.
Awesome.
You know, Randy, that not having enough seating, I mean, it's sort of a problem, but it's sort of not a bad problem. I mean, that means you got a lot of people coming to watch your show. You know, it's good that they helped you out. So, I mean, maybe this year you can fill up all the new seats too.
Yeah, we'll see. Actually, we should be a little bit more than what we had last year, which attendance was down a little bit with the cold temperatures, but it was still a problem with some, you know, not having seating and people were trying to sit in front of the bleachers. So
yeah,
we got a couple things to some different manpower to try and get that covered a little bit better, so the people in the first row are still able to see and try and keep people in up in the stands like they need to be.
That's been a challenge 2 years
that
we were out there, and I remember just barking at people to get them off the fence, and they just won't move.
Yeah, Tammy was working with me to get people off the fence, and it was definitely. But I mean, it's growing pains. I mean, you know, it's a newer facility. I mean, there's still, you know, but it's good to have that many people there, though. I mean, that's definitely you know, that's an okay problem to work in.
Well, I'd like to think that, I might be wrong, but I think that last year was the most weather challenged that you've had, right? I mean, it seemed like that was the most difficult year that you've had.
It probably rates one of the top two. I think that one year in Garden City might have been a little bit colder. That probably that year you came and you weren't prepared.
Yeah.
But you know, it is what it is. I mean, you get one year that's cold, one year that's not. And the one nice thing about this facility versus our old facility is you can escape and go to somewhere warm.
Yeah.
Where we really didn't have that option back down here in Garden City. You know, this has got that big vending hall that's, what is it, like 100 by 200, and that's 70 degrees year-round, which is just a short walk right from the grandstand. So, and then, of course, the heated beer tent, that'll be there again as well, which will be trackside.
That heated beer tent's had a lot of traffic over the years. I've spent some time in there getting feeling back in fingers and toes, and there always seems to be a lot of traffic through that heated beer tent. That's an excellent idea right there.
Yeah. No, that's all getting prepared and set up. And like I said, the vending hall, that'll be open in the morning for the swap meet. So if it is cold, vendors can either go inside or outside. We got vending spots for both locations. And I believe the fair board's going to serve like hot food and whatnot in the vending hall all day.
Cool.
And then we got Smokin' Bros coming up with another vendor. Jeremy is handling the vendor side of it, so there's another vendor coming up with Smoke and Bros that they'll both be trackside.
Nice.
But even so, from the grandstands there with this facility, you're less than a half a block to get to that heated area. So, and there's heated bathrooms in that building as well. So that's, it's kind of nice. We didn't have that down in Garden City. So
yeah.
And internet reception, that's another bonus.
Yeah, I noticed. I mean, when I was there 2 years ago, everything was you know, pretty close. I mean, it wasn't that terribly far to walk to get, you know, to where you wanted to be. So I definitely you know, think this is it's a nice change. It's a nice venue, you know. And the action is always on track, is just second to none. I mean, those guys, you know, really get after it out there and put on a hell of a show.
Pit area at St. Peter's bigger, right? This pit area is bigger.
I don't think it's really bigger, but the area around it, like the pits and stuff,
we're able to
organize it way better than we could in Garden City.
Sure. Yeah.
So, I mean, just for size-wise, I don't think it's really that much larger as much as it is more open, and things are on a flat land more so you can organize it way, way more efficiently.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, what goes into the changes at this point? This is a show that's been around for a little while. You've sort of gotten an established clientele. You've gotten an established process. What goes into putting this show on now versus where it was when you're looking at executing year two, year three?
Oh, well, it's really hard to say. I mean, you're always trying to do something to make it better on
sure.
every level, whether it be to the rules, to try and accommodate, whether it be the inspectors. I mean, there's always room for improvement in every category. And then there again, seating and the way we arrange things. We've only been here for a couple of years, so
right.
We're still trying to find that right fit that makes things flow efficiently and people are able to walk freely as they need to.
Right. The more open plan that this place offers gives you a little bit of flexibility in terms of making it better in terms of access, which is cool. You know, you had a couple of challenges with the snow last year, but it wasn't anything that you hadn't contended with at least once before. In terms of the rules, the way that there's all these changes now to the Derby landscape, that heavy class isn't the one that's ruling the roost anymore. There's so much interest in the stock classes from, I would say, the mid to large region to national platforms. You've got a chain and go class that's constantly full to the brim, that you can't add any more classes given what you've got on the schedule. How are you juggling all that now?
Well, kind of the same as before. You know, the first one signed up, obviously get in, and the rest can either go on a waiting list and such. But once again, you know, the first three stock classes, they filled up within a week.
Sure.
And right now we've been kind of dabbling a little bit. I'm only about three shy from being completely filled out, and obviously it's the weld class,
right?
That there's still two or three spots available there, and I'm pretty happy to be at that point, honestly. I mean, because you know, trying to fill out that rapidly for a show like this, it's kind of nice.
Now, how many shows do you do through the course of the year in addition to this one?
I have two other county fair shows that I do.
Mm-hmm.
One is our small town, Mapleton.
Mm-hmm.
I host that one here, and that one is probably the biggest challenge I ever have because there is no facility. It's pretty much hosted in the middle of a hayfield.
That's awesome.
but it gets the standing crowd, a standing room only, every year.
Right.
I awesome. Can never find enough seating for it, and I usually pull in 50 to 70 cars at that show. And that's supposed to be just a small town, you know, like I said, no facility. I got to haul in all the bleachers. We have to dig the whole entire track and build the moat. And then the fencing all around it and all the fencing on the perimeter. And it takes a lot of security. And then when it's over, everything has to be leveled back to ground zero. And everything has to go back. And it is a large hurdle. And thankfully, I have tons of volunteers that come in and help me with that. Because that week of getting setting up, you know, we do this all within like 4 to 5 days.
Wow.
It is a challenge. challenge, and usually, you know, it's a lower ground on to add to the mess, and we usually get rain.
Of course. Of course.
This last year, coming in with that show, we rained like 4 inches the night before, and I went down there, and it didn't look so bad. And then I went back down there 2 hours later, and the whole track was flooded, and my pits were flooded, and we had to completely revamp everything. And as far as where we're going to park people, because I couldn't utilize any of the pits whatsoever. Right. And then the entrance to the track, you couldn't get to it. Even with a four-wheeler, you couldn't even get there. You got stuck. So we had to make a new entrance into the track the day of. And it was just one hurdle after another. But somehow, it all pulled together, and we made it happen. And it ended up being an excellent show.
Well, you can't argue with that.
Randy, how's... No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
How many derbies? How many derbies do you plan on running next year yourself? Not promoting, but actually competing in.
This year, actually, I will probably be taming it down a little bit. I think I ran 4 cars last summer, but I just ventured into owning my own business here January 1st, right. And I have a feeling I'm going to be a little more tied down to where I probably won't be able to escape as much as I have in the past. And then making sure the business gets off the ground as it should.
As much, but so there are still some plans.
Yes, there are some plans. Just don't know where, don't know how, but we'll kind of work it through. And when the summer starts rolling around, I got a couple cars stripped that I can start to throw together if I need to, if I decide to go somewhere.
This is how good of a promoter Randy is.
I still got my Blizzard Bash car sitting yet. I'm trying to decide if I can... If I can mend that back together or not, it got hurt pretty bad.
Yeah, I'd say so.
So this is how skilled a promoter Randy is. Randy's already got Carson Dixon's longest tow award together, and he's already got this list of derbies in his pocket that he can hand Carson that he can go run the car at when it gets loaded from being overbuilt.
Oh, that's funny. Randy, how's your winter been out there? Ours has been pretty timid. I mean, you guys getting any snow or anything, or has it been not bad?
It has not been bad at all. Right now, we were actually in the 40s last week, so any little bit of snow, which is only a couple inches, is pretty much gone. You got snow banks here and there, but we've had a couple big storms that were supposed to be 12 and 14 inch snow storms, but they never developed. They just turned to rain and or went around us. So. Yeah. As of now, there isn't even anything we got to do for snow removal, but we got a month to go, so I'm sure there still will be.
Yeah. In Mapleton, 40 degrees is swimming pool weather.
Oh, absolutely. And if it's 40 for the day of winter slam, there'll be guys in shirts. It's going to be beautiful. Well, last year I went, 2 years ago, it was...
The t-shirts.
It was nice that day I went. It was like 40.
It was almost too nice.
Until the sun went down, and then it got chilly quickly.
Well, on the flip side of that is it was almost too nice, because if it gets too warm, the track goes away. Yeah, you need to count on a little bit of that ground staying hard when the liquids start getting laid down. And,
yes.
And the track traditionally, at either facility, at St. Peter's, either one, they took it pretty well. I mean, there was one year where the trucks got a little greasy on top, but that's because they weigh 10,000 pounds and they run those bias ply tires and they don't really grip on anything anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's always been a fun show, and the hits are hard. Kurt Brinkman ended up winning the headline class last year. Still a couple of openings, you said, for that, but everything else is full. I know traditionally you don't give out any driver's lists with specifics, but if I'm remembering last year correctly, we had almost a 50% new driver rate. Did that replicate this year again?
Pretty close. Yeah. I would say probably 30 to 40% new driver. One thing I will say that the Ship boys from the UK, they came last year and drove in the 80s chain class in their first time to America, and they were so happy that they're coming back again.
Right.
Cool. Derek Kretlow is going to build them a pair of cars and hopefully gets them all done and gets them here. They're excited to come back.
How's his hand doing?
I have not spoken to him personally. No. I don't know. I'd seen a couple of Facebook posts. It looks like it must be healing quite well.
That's it's always a good sign.
Yeah, definitely.
His is the hand that got squashed on the A-pillar.
Yeah.
At Blizzard Bash.
Yeah, I remember.
Made me cringe to seeing his stitches.
Yeah,
the X-ray didn't look good. I didn't see the stitches, but I imagine his hand probably looks like it had a Nike swoosh stitched into it.
Yeah, that can't be good.
He got her pretty good. That's pretty bad.
How's Jeremy these days?
I'm doing pretty good. He was up in the territory. I almost got him on here, but he had some obligations to take his kids out, so he had to go and do that.
He's been up here a couple times
trying to organize
somewhere. Some
different sponsor stuff, getting some stuff organized that way, and Napa is involved with us again for, how many years is that now?
Six.
They're still with us, and I believe they're going to have, just like they had, they're going to have the parts shuttle. They'll be able to deliver parts right out on the fairgrounds in case, I should say not in case, when something happens coming to and from Tech. Inevitably, there's always something that happens with that cold weather compared versus summer. You do have more breakdowns.
Was it Chris Lancaster that needed a starter?
Yeah, the year he put the 500 cuber in his T-Bird.
Yeah.
Burned up a starter trying to start it. Yeah, that's when I said, hey,
That was one of them five below years, and it was pretty rough on even the high compression motors and the big blocks. They turned a little slow.
Did you see the picture of the wagon that Chris just brought home?
No.
It was like an Edsel wagon.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It'd be cool to see him take something like that to Capital City Carnage.
I would enjoy that. Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Looked like two old Fords. I say Edsel wagon. It looked like an Edsel wagon. It might have been a Ford or something of the era, but both nice looking older vehicles.
I had a message into Jared Ryan to see if he was planning on running. We've seen him perform very well up there at Winter Slam. But I have not yet heard back from him either. There's a couple other drivers that I'd put some feelers out to find out what their plans were. Everybody thus far playing it pretty close to the vest.
Close to the vest, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in time, we're
going
to know.
Yeah. Nobody wants to talk yet. Well, it's funny. I just saw Muse posted something the other day, and he's like, man, it's been awful quiet. What's going on with everybody's Winter Slam builds? And nobody really responded. So, I don't know. Maybe everybody's busy, building, and they just don't have time. I don't know.
Well, I think a lot of people are just starting to build, so these last 30 days, that's kind of their crunch time.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, they nothing like waiting the last minute, right?
Yeah, it's not worth doing.
Well, realistically, I mean, I know we can joke about it, but a month to put together any one of the three stock class vehicles is plenty of time.
Usually not a problem, yeah. Yes. The trucks, the 80s and the compacts, you'd really only need the trucks. You might need a little bit more, but it's such a lighter build that if you got a head start, it doesn't take that long to put them together. But
right.
The weld class, even though it's not a full weld, it still requires a lot more shop time than what the other classes require.
Yeah, we've seen some really well put together cars up there. I mean, there's some guys that have brought some just beautiful equipment up there.
Yes.
That's usually a pretty tough heat. Those guys usually, there's some well-built cars and some real good drivers.
Even in that weld class for the drivers I do have, I mean, there's drivers from five states, I believe. Overall, between all the classes, we're dealing with eight states and then the London boys.
That's cool.
Right.
Very cool.
And that's generally what you've been seeing so far, right? Have you ever sat down and looked at all the entry lists from across all the years and seen how many different states total were represented?
Generally, it's all the surrounding states for sure.
Right.
But I guess we've had some outreach before in Nebraska.
Yep.
We got some new interest this year out of Illinois and Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, yeah, the North Dakota, South Dakota, Wisconsin, Iowa, they might not be the same drivers, but obviously somebody that came with them the year before, so it draws interest. And
yeah.
And next thing you got more than one. So
the amount of time that you spend traveling between Mapleton and Topeka certainly does help with all the flyers that accidentally fall out the window and all those derby towns on your trip.
Yeah, you never know.
So you'd probably have to have Topeka on one of the potential places to run this in 2019, wouldn't you? You've had pretty good luck out there.
Yeah, well, I went back this year, and Unfortunately, lost steering quite early, but managed to pull it to second somehow. I don't know how it managed to happen.
It was a good thing.
I should have been out in the corner at seventh or eighth place, because I was trapped in the corner and no way of getting out. And somehow the wheels turned straight enough for me to come back out and exactly miss everybody on the field and hit a parked car. Because I come out of there wide open because the wheels were straight and I didn't want to back out of it at that point because it was probably going to turn.
Yep.
Everybody just went forward and back, and it was like parting of the seas, and I went right through the middle of everybody.
Yeah, I watched the heat.
I thought you went out there one year with no steering. You lost steering super early.
Yeah, I broke a tie rod that first year I won down there.
Compact, yeah.
Still.
That ain't quite so bad, but this one here, you know, a full-size car, I lost one of my outer tie rod ends, and then the gearbox sheared off, so I had one tie rod doing whatever it wanted to, and then the steering linkage was taking the other one, so that was a lot more difficult to try and get it to steer by far.
Yeah, definitely.
That's awful.
Yeah, that's not good. Hey, you got your money's worth out of that car, though.
That's when you only got a 305 for horsepower, so it kind of burned every little bit of the 305 up.
Yeah, that was you put on a good show, though. You definitely were right there at the end. I mean, it was just you know, not quite enough car left to finish it, to get it. You know,
there was enough car, just not enough motor. That motor just got way too hot.
Yeah.
Tranny. Hopefully the tranny's still good, because I abused the heck out of that thing too, trying to get it to steer, because I just keep running the same line. And
yep.
A few times I wasn't even lifting and just freaking shifting on the fly.
Yep.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, sometimes they don't like that. Them Chevys like that better than Chryslers do, though. It's rough on them. So how was it? I mean, you know, you mentioned earlier, and I was going to talk or going to ask you, how is it being the boss? You know, I see it's Maz's Midtown Auto. How is it?
We've only been a week here. A few transition things we've just been fighting, as far as the credit card machine didn't get up and running like it was supposed to, and the accountant didn't get over here to get my computer set up for the invoicing side, so I could still invoice, you know, everything else that I need to and be able to function, but I can't make any deposits or do any of that nature, so it's been a little stressful that way, but business has been very good. We've been very busy, and I've even had to come up here on the weekends trying to start the week out with a clean slate. Work's been piling in. I'm very, very pleased with the outcome.
Good. Hey, you're the boss now. That means you don't have to turn wrenches anymore. You just sit in the office with your feet up and relax.
You should know better than that, Brian. Who's my boss?
Yeah, I know, but it sounds good.
I think I have a redheaded wife that sits up in the office, and she tells me what to do now.
I'm not going to argue, because, you know, I've seen the look Tammy gives on occasion. I wouldn't argue either.
No, she's been great. She's been up here right by my side.
Good.
And she completely tried to clean the office and forced me into actually painting, because she couldn't clean it no more. And she done a bunch of remodeling up there, and it looks fantastic.
Good. Good deal.
She's been up here every day with me and trying to get things rolling, and I'm much appreciative.
Good.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about what it was like trying to handle some of the logistics, and one of the things you touched on was rules. We talked about how the 80s classes and those chain classes, the stock type builds, have gained so much momentum. What about on the other side of things, in terms of juggling that rule book and changing things, even changing the 80s class to allow a little bit more, or the mod class to allow a little bit more? You seem to be on the border of selling out a month outside of the Derby every year in between. Is it a case where nothing's broke, so there's no need to fix it?
No, we haven't made any drastic changes.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be more so clarifications than anything.
Sure.
We haven't made, in any of the classes, we haven't made any severe drastic changes, other than we've maybe added some material that people were twisting the words and the rules. Like, I can't imagine why they would ever do that. But take their own interpretation, so we just had to write things down a little bit more black and white to try and get it managed. You know, these guys have some brilliant ideas. It's great to see, but you know, you got something in black and white really contouring it, then you just got to make some adjustments on your wording and try and correct it and try and keep it as on a level playing field as you possibly can.
As a builder now, and this, you know, he's not going to answer this question. As a builder, have you ever seen any of those brilliant ideas come through tech at Winter Slam that you had to tell somebody to go cut that later in the year you used on a car at an event that you weren't inspecting at?
I can't say I haven't tried it.
That's just part of the game.
Going to Blizzard Bash and seeing all the cool stuff down there, and you know, you go to one place or another. You know, it's a game. I mean, everybody knows it's a game. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot of the heavy, you know, extra welding on the frame and stuff that I just won't tolerate.
Yeah. Right. Have you found that, I know early on, and social media wasn't what it was early on for Winter Slam, taking nothing away from the growth of the event, the advertising, the operations that you guys do out there. Have you found early on, one of the conversations we had was how good the drivers were about respecting what the intent of the show was. Have you found with the expansion of social media that level of respect has changed at all?
Maybe a percentage. I wouldn't say it's a great percentage.
That's cool.
But there again, you know, you start getting some of these some higher well-known drivers,
right?
And they start getting to compete against, you know, more bigger names too. I mean, that level is going to increase, and there's nothing you can do about that,
right?
And they're, you know, you're dealing with a lot of guys that will build for Blizzard Bash, or they're used to running that type of build all year long, mm-hmm. and they just try and bring it up, you know. Bring it in and try and see if they can get it through tech. I mean, we really haven't had to get crazy and load a lot of people in the last few years. I mean, yes, there's always somebody that gets loaded inevitably, but we try to work with the best we can, you know, unless they've just went really crazy about it.
And I don't remember any of those day after conversations being crazy either. You know, everybody always wants to re-tech the car the day after about how much stuff got through, you know?
Yeah.
And we've never really come across that. And it's good to hear that's sustained, because that was one of the charms of Winter Slam is it just was a bunch of buddies that all ran against each other all summer. They got together in the dead of freaking winter to have a derby.
Run again.
And run one more time. It's like, you know, there's not a derby this weekend. We should probably have one.
Yeah, that is kind of how it's you know, it is, and it's taken off. But
the bigger the show got and the more attention this got, I mean, I think you're pretty hard-pressed at this point to go any place in the country and not know what Winter Slam is.
Oh,
you're hard-pressed to find people that, you know, county fair level, maybe, but I think, you know, staying on that traveling, even on a regional scale, which is, you know, doesn't have as wide of a footprint wherever you go, they still know about what Winter Slam is and what the process is all about. So to have the expansion like that and not lose that real respect is cool. It kind of stays true to what the roots are. On the flip side of it, though, Randy, did you ever expect that Winter Slam would be nationally recognized?
Honestly, I never did.
No,
I don't think Jeremy did either. I mean, we like to have seen it grow a state or two so we could draw enough attendance to make it worthwhile to get it off the ground.
Sure.
But it's definitely shown, the respect has been shown way more than we ever anticipated.
Jeremy expected it to be big, I think, because Jeremy's brother Matt is also a promoter, and Jeremy loves to do anything bigger than what Matt does. So Jeremy,
yeah, be a little brotherly competition there.
You remember when we were hanging out at it was the Best Western. I miss what it was now, and their mom was there too.
Yeah.
That was one of the best.
That was cool.
Just sit back and listen.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a good night.
That was a riot. Well, so you said Napa was back involved. The Badass Trophies are back on board. Is anybody new that you're bringing in this year?
I honestly can't answer that because I don't know where. I got this last month here is when we're going to hit our sponsor stuff really hard.
Yep.
I've been a little sidetracked with trying to get the new business and stuff going here. Mm-hmm. So I've been slacking a little bit. But now that things get going here, I'll start getting more aggressive and get things lined up. But generally speaking, the same sponsors do like to come back and take their spots back up. They're repetitious. So I don't foresee a big issue there as far as anybody new and big. Nothing big on that aspect that has been addressed at this point.
Good.
Well, that's can't argue with that right there.
Nope.
I mean, it's just getting more. It's getting bigger and bigger.
Absolutely.
But with the sounds of things, it's getting a little bit easier to put together, too. When you've got sponsors that are just, yeah, let me know what weekend it is and when you need to check by. That's a pretty nice problem to have for a promoter when you're coupling that with, man, we just don't have enough places to seat all the people that come.
and we gotta
go to a lottery to figure out who's going to be able to compete.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely all good things to have.
Was there a lot of pressure again this year, as there has in the past, to try to add one more class of the stock division?
There's just no way.
I understand. There's no way. We've hashed that out a bunch of different times. Was there the pressure again?
By the time we get to the dark, and not so much the pressure. No.
No.
I think people finally understand that, you know, we got to keep this with a 4-hour window. You know, being as we started at 2, by the time you get around to that 6 o'clock range, we all know when that sun goes down, you know, the fun, it's not quite as much fun when you're standing there freezing your butt off.
No, it's amazing how fast we can pack up and get out of there at the end of a show, because we're all frozen by that point. That last, like, 15, 20 minutes of that feature, it gets cold. And we get
The last 15 minutes of the feature, when I was up in the tower, my hands were shaking like this. But boy, by the time the checkered flag came out, little shivers went away. I would pack a bag, no problem.
We get out of there quick at the end and get back to the hotel and get warmed up and get, you know, onto the after party. But the last little bit of that last feature is. It tests the Derby fan. You got to be a true fan to stand out there for that little bit,
There's just no way. You know, you've got the sun up. If the weather's right, the sun up at noon, and then it peaks out the temperature at 2 o'clock. By 6 o'clock, 6:30, 7 o'clock, the tire pressures and the cars have changed.
Oh, yeah. yeah, it definitely gets chilly up there.
There's been a little bit of pressure of trying to make it a two-day show, but I've had enough drivers that actually don't even want to go down that road.
Yeah.
It's working the way it is, you know, on a one-day deal, everybody can get back. Mostly got to take off is maybe the Friday.
Yep.
Right.
And then everybody can get back home on Sunday. They got enough travel time to get back home and such. I think it works, so I think we're just going to keep riding it out.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like any other show, you know, you have one bad year and you could make a turnaround of the people that are going to support you real fast.
Yeah.
Yep.
Stick with what works. What's Tammy think about a two-day show?
I think she would say absolutely not.
I wisely you haven't asked her.
Absolutely not.
Well, I think everything is coming together well. $12,000 in payouts. There's a total of four features: full size paying $2,000 to win, 80s chain class $1,000 to win, trucks $1,000 to win, the 108-inch front wheel drives and under $1,000 to win. 2 o'clock start time at the Nicollet County Fairgrounds in St. Peter, Minnesota. Remember the 10 a.m. start time for the swap meet and the vendors. There's of course the ever popular heated beer tent.
Mm-hmm.
Napa Auto Parts, huge supporter. Over 140 vehicles, 7 states. February 9th. Napa Winter Slam. It's going to be a good one. Those compacts always put on a dynamite show, too. I mean, we've talked about the trucks. We've talked about the stocks, the compacts. The best move to make is to start with the compacts. You know what I mean? Those things get out there. They're little killer bees out there, and they drive so hard for the duration. I think pound for pound, the compact guys, front to back for the duration of the feature, drive harder than the wild cars. At the end, the wild cars really get hitting, but they always go through that first 10, 15 minute getting to know you stage where they're kind of feeling each other. Right. But the compact guys, the green flag comes out, and they are just on it. And that class is always stacked.
And with the 80s chain class, they start out wide open, but they drive so hard that when it gets down to the last two or three, usually they have a hard time moving. So it's you don't see quite as many big hits, but we've touched on that before. I mean, this is just an overall hard-hitting, hard-driving, you know, you don't, you know, there's not a lot of time to calculate your shots. And
the 80s class is always the nail-biter class because there's four or five cars left, and everybody is just limping. Mm-hmm. They got nothing left, and you don't know who's going to take it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely
one thing I have had, though, is a few of the people in the stands said, why don't I do heats or why don't I break it up? Because it's too hard to watch 35 cars at once when it's that fast paced.
Tell them to score it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and trying to judge hardest hitters, that it is very difficult. That's why I just pick out the people that are sitting in the seats, mm-hmm. you know, and they bring their votes in from different sides of the track, and they decide.
Right.
Because it's too much to watch. Even trying to run the flags on the side, yep. it is so difficult to even watch when people are dropping down because there's so much going on. Mm-hmm. You don't know if somebody's going to – you turn your head to the left, you don't know if they're going to scrape up over the wall or what's going to happen there. So you're – worrying about your own safety too as well, because you know they're coming in that fast and they start ricocheting off of one another and hit the wall, next thing you know they're in the air.
Yep.
There's been a couple times. Remember Brett Nelson? When Brett Nelson hit the wall right in front of us,
mm-hmm.
I thought he was coming through it. Yeah. I mean, as tight as that wall was.
I can't remember which year it was, but we seen a compact go over the wall in front of the beer tent.
That was the
Blue Earth.
Yeah.
I don't remember which year it was, but I remember seeing one clear the.
I think it was the first year.
First or second.
He jumped the berm, air balloon.
Yep.
Blue Lumina. It was one of those freight train things. Same thing happened at Wheel Days a couple years ago, yeah. and they landed in the bucket of the excavator.
Mm-hmm. Same thing happened at, Cuba. Remember? When they stood up.
Yes. That team heat that they had there. It was.
Did you get that on tape?
I did. I've got that. Yep, Demi Sipple was helping out that day. She and her dad were on a camera right in front of that mm-hmm. when it happened. We had an in-car camera on one of them. I don't remember who.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was, Jesus, you're going back. That had to be 2012.
Oh, 2012,
yeah. 2013, something like that.
No, farther than that.
Can't be that much farther. Maybe 2012.
10, at least.
10 was the first year I did videos. So,
maybe 11.
11 or 12. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I remember that hit when Brett was in his Crown Vic, mm-hmm. and he came into the wall, and he ended up getting hit, and just this explosion of clay, which in the summertime is not a big deal, but these are clay stones because they're frozen together, and they just went flying everywhere. It's bouncing off stuff. It sounds like you're getting shot at.
it's crazy.
The other issue is the ethylene glycol. I mean, you're not running water. You have to run coolant or antifreeze in order for the motors to stay together and handle the cold temperatures of the travels and stuff. And mm-hmm. when that stuff steams up and boils, it makes a very thick fog. It doesn't just wisp off and steam, which that makes it a little bit harder to see through. But mm-hmm. I don't see how you would be able to do heats with the turnout that you've got. You're looking at doing three heats of 12, three heats of 15, something like that. It's just so many cars to get through that you're still going to be pushed up against that time issue.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, there's no way you could do it. I mean, there just isn't. Not without more time in a day or a second day. It's just impossible.
I wouldn't mess with it. I wouldn't mess with it at all. 35 compacts out there at one time with a track that size is a lot of fun to watch, even if it's only for the first few minutes.
Yeah. That first 10 minutes with the last is crazy. But yeah,
one thing too is Brandon got out there as soon as all the fair stuff was done. Brandon Thomas got out there and got that track all straight level and got all this little debris off it. See, so it's just like the asphalt, and then he blocked it off so nobody could go in there and touch it. So it should be a good track, just like we had last year.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad everything is going well. It's as always. It's great to hear from you. And pass along our Happy New Year wishes to Jeremy and all the folks that are close to it, and let Tammy know that we're thinking of her.
I surely will.
And keep us posted. Maybe if schedule will let you do it, maybe we'll touch base one more time before the show.
All right. That sounds great, Chris.
All right. It's always good to hear from you, Randy. We'll see you soon.
Yep. See you guys later.
See you now. There it goes. Bye. Randy Maslowski, owner of Maz's Midtown Auto now. Juggling the duties of being the boss and the promoter.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if Maz's Midtown Auto is listed as a sponsor in the guidebook.
Sure, probably will be. Probably be the first advertising dollars they spent.
Well, it might be the first advertising dollars that are spent, but I bet you it's not the first one listed.
No.
Napa would be the first one listed.
Yeah, definitely. But no, I mean, we've always had a lot of fun. You sort of went through hell getting there last year, but the on track stuff has always been awesome.
Well, I'm wondering if going through hell last year is one of the reasons why I don't have to worry about going through hell this year.
Could be. You it was by no action of your own that you were in the predicament you were.
We looked at getting flights out of Buffalo and Syracuse, paying for extra flights.
Yeah.
And Melissa was just going to stay there and hopefully make it on time. Otherwise, I was going to run everything on my own. It's been it is a challenge to see there. It is a big challenge to see everything on the track the way that it is.
Well, the nice thing there is they got that scaffolding that we stood on the last couple of years.
Yeah, but I mean, we're spoiled. You know what I mean? We get to see, and it's still a challenge to see across the track to score stuff and try and keep track of that.
You talk about
what is in the immediate vicinity of 10 feet from the wall in front of you. And beyond that, I can't see it. Who cares? And then you yell at fans.
But always a good show. Always have a great time up there. After party is always really fun. Be interesting. Be an interesting show.
Yeah, last year's Winter Slam experience, not on Randy's side with the snowstorm and trying to get to Minnesota, was a premonition for how 2018 was going to go as a whole.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where it's like it's like a hitter.
It was almost like an omen.
In baseball. Yeah, it's like, for some reason, I struck out there. That's not typical. Well, wow. This whole day went bad, and then it just snowballed from there to the point where it's like I don't even want to go up to the plate anymore. You know,
mm-hmm.
And
now you're back in swinging away, man, aiming for the
fence. Yeah, I mean it was nice having a little bit of time off of school, and mm-hmm. it let me get caught up on artwork. I think I did 7 or 8 race cars. I did a bunch of roof signs, did some door wrap stuff. Got caught up on that a little bit. I had a couple messages today about. Well, people looking for artwork and stuff like that. Still trying to catch up with some people from last year. So if you're ignoring my text messages, I know you're ignoring them. but I mean, we've got some big art projects that were delivered from back in July that people just aren't even responding to. Which is it's a problem because if it leaves my house.
You paid for it.
I had to pay for it, you know. And I try to work with everybody. I try not to be the jerk that says you got to pay for everything up front. And everybody's like, oh, you have to. It's like, you got to be in – why don't you get in my situation? You got somebody that you know or somebody that needs something that's trying to get it for a derby or they're short on it right now and they're trying to do something. And you know, you're trying to help them out and give back to the sport that's been good to you. And then you turn around and get it stuck in your ear, you know. It's a little problematic at times. But – yeah, I mean, the artwork stuff is it's all still there. It's all still there. And yes, you know, Robert Hartman asked me today, he goes, so where do I go to order stuff? You got to go through me. All the website stuff's down just because it was becoming too expensive to keep up. So all that stuff's down. It's all one-to-one and word of mouth. You know, I should probably get a Facebook page and post that I'm doing that stuff. If anybody
do you know a guy that should have thought that page? Through.
Yeah. Do you do Facebook pages?
No.
No.
I read a lot of them. I don't do them.
It's been good. I'm hoping for a better year than last year. Pretty much any year would be better than last year's when it comes to streaming and technology.
You know, things are looking good. I mean, we're going back to Topeka in March, so that's mm-hmm. going to be pretty damn cool.
Yep.
You know, I'm sure some other cool things are in the works. Probably a good chance we'll be at Bash for Cash in May.
Yeah.
I'd say better than
average.
Average
odds.
That will be in Topeka in November.
I think that's probably a safe bet.
So, Crash Course is alive and well. And get out and see everybody again this year. And have fun doing what we do.
Whoops.
Yeah, we... I know Brett Rallier has just started building for the show in Kentucky. And Pete are going out.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. Pete had a picture of hauling 2 caddies. I said, Pete, last time I talked to you, you told me caddies were junk and, you know. But apparently he's done with the Rivies. He's going to try the caddies. So I'm sure he'll have a nasty caddy. I don't know how heavy the build is, though. I don't think they can do a whole bunch, but... it'd be interesting.
Is this the one you're talking about? Bluegrass Bash? The one in, I think that's in Louisville?
Early. This month or next month?
Oh, it's soon. It's Now, of course, it's locked up. That's, oh no, it's not. That's later than I thought. That's in March.
I'm not sure.
Hang on. We have this debate. You would think at some point we would look it up, right?
What's the early one I'm thinking of?
I don't know. There's a Rebel Run Enduro and Derby in Sturgis, Kentucky, February 2nd.
Not that one.
No.
What's the big one?
You're talking about the Wicked Show?
Yeah. When's that?
I'm looking. Talk amongst yourselves.
I can't. If I talk to myself, then it sounds funny.
January 26th is Redneck Rumble. That's the one you're probably thinking of.
In Kentucky.
That's in Sturgis, yeah. And yeah. Then Urban Destruction is in Earlsville, Indiana.
Yeah, I think it's Redneck
April 19th.
Rumble.
It's got to be Redneck Rumble. It's got to be.
Got to be. You ever thought about just going to a derby and just hanging out and watching?
Yeah. Oh, have I thought about it? Absolutely. There's been times that I've been at derbies with cameras on me that I wish I was just hanging out in them.
Hanging out watching.
There's been derbies where I've had cameras in front of me that aren't working and computers that aren't working or soundboards that aren't working. Yeah, it's like I would much rather just be here hanging out.
Hanging out. No stress.
Yeah. I don't know why it is, but I continue to get the Freedom Hall March Derby and the Wicked Indoor Derby and the Sturgis Redneck Rumble Derby overlapped. I don't know what it is. I learned them backwards and I can't get it straight.
Can't unlearn it.
I guess. Hang on.
Uh-oh.
This here. We talked about Capital City Carnage and getting out there. Capital City Carnage is March 21st through the 23rd. Capital City Carnage 2019 is at the Kansas Expo Center in Topeka, Kansas. What's the name of the arena? Landon Arena. At the Kansas Expo Center. Online, CapitalCityCarnage.com has the details. March 21st at 7 o'clock is the heat draws. March the 22nd at 7 o'clock is all the limited weld heats. March the 23rd is part of the Twin Bill, 10 o'clock start time for the Limited World Consolation Rounds, the Compact, and the first group of Extreme Class two-man cars have two flights again this year. Mm-hmm. 7 o'clock start time for the 10,000 Win Limited World feature, the Modifieds, and that second Extreme two-man class on the card at 7 o'clock as well. Anything good over there?
Just checking in.
Yeah. Letting Crystal know that you're still at the podcast at 6:53?
No, somebody who had set the name of the derby that I was trying to come up with.
Oh, that was good. Was it Pete?
No, it wasn't Pete.
Yep.
Pete's probably taking the pallets of welding wire and stacking them away in the garage.
You think he's going to go through that much putting that car together?
I don't know about that much, but rumor has it Pete Hansen enjoys welding.
He does like it.
Stuff doesn't, you know, come apart real easy.
Have you got plans for where you're going to drive next year? You've got a Suicide that if you ever take ownership of, you'll have the chance to drive that someplace.
Yeah, I got that.
And the Roadrunner's all done and gone, right?
Well, yeah, that went to the scrapyard.
Yeah, that's gone.
4,200 pounds.
Really?
That thing full of.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you stand that in the back bumper and fill it full of?
Just about. Honestly, I don't know. Brett Relier talked about having a show, and I was talking about going to that. I don't know if that's been officially carved in stone yet. I'd like to go to Jeremy Gulley's mini meltdown.
Yeah.
But I have to build something because the way I have my bumper on the front of the Cadillac, I can't run it there. Right. So there's always Waterloo. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Looking for a graphics guy. I'm probably going to have some stickers and maybe a sign made this year, if you know anybody.
Sure. I'm in. What do you want? How about you just tell me the colors? I'll take it from there.
I'll have to talk to my kid about the colors.
Yeah, I know.
Give you a list of names.
You don't want anything flashy that stands out.
Not usually. The last one was pretty easy. Black with gray on it. Except that when Steve printed the letters for the car, they came out green. At least my sign's right, though. Steve's probably been concussed a time or two.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It happens. Mm-hmm. How about you, Chris Marquardt? Anything new in the works you want to talk about on air?
No.
Okay. Well, let's call it a night. We get home and get ready to watch Alabama win their 32nd national title.
Did I hear that right? They've been 5 of the last 7? Something or that like these that. Two teams have accounted for?
4 of the last 5 they've been in finals against each other or something like that.
Something just ludicrous.
Yeah. My prediction is 31-23.
Someday we're going to look back on this time. And we're going to watch a bunch of national championships get taken away because of wrongful recruiting practices
or
something.
The funny thing is knock on wood, I don't know if I remember games and national championships being taken away in football. I do in basketball.
Didn't USC lose a bunch? Reggie Bush lost his Heisman, and didn't they lose a bunch of wins and stuff?
I don't
know if it was national championships, but I thought that
I don't think they were a national championship. I don't think Reggie lost his Heisman.
No?
I don't think it took it away from him. But I think, now to mention that maybe they lost some games, but it just doesn't seem like they do it the same way.
Basketball's a little more strict, I guess, huh?
Yeah. Especially when you're Syracuse. The NCAA does not like Jim Boeheim at all. They investigated him for 33 years and finally found something on one kid, so...
Well, that's good. I mean, that's what you need to throw.
And then they tried to drop the death knell on him. Took away 27 scholarships and 600 wins and almost his birthday, and don't get me going.
You want a thorough investigation, though.
Bama, 31-23.
All right, you heard it here first. Awesome. Well, we'll be back again next week. We're going to try and catch up with, I think we talked about, oh, I know, Jake Sherman. Is going to be making the trip up to talk about road rage.
They've been
very, very busy. So we're going to be catching up with him and talking about road rage and recapping all that stuff. So we got that to look forward to. Tim Clark waiting in the wings at some point. I'm hoping that Josh will be able to get free from his job to get up here so that we can recap all the stuff that's going on with Spinning Wheels. I got a bunch of stuff. I don't want to go into it if we're going to have them here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm not ignoring anything. I'd like to get them here so we can recap all of it with their voice involved with it, besides just, you know, rereading their press releases and their Facebook pages. I know Jeremy would gladly do a phone interview, but I've been trying to get Josh and everybody up here together at one time. So that's waiting in the wings. You know, that is coming, and I think we're about 5 months away from any meltdown.
True.
Right? Well, 4 months. I mean, yeah, 4 months away. So it's coming.
It's coming. 2 months away, 3 months away from – 2 months away from – February, March, 2 months away from Capital City.
Yeah.
Awesome.
A little over 2 months, yep.
That'd be great. Can't wait.
Season is upon us. Season is upon us. We'll check in with you again, like I said, next week with Jake Sherman, and we'll do it all again on episode number 257. But that being said, 256 is in the books. We appreciate everybody tuning in and watching. And be sure to hit the like button and subscribe, follow along. If you don't like it, I guess just turn the channel.
Hit stop.
We'll see everybody later. Thanks.
The Crash Course Live is presented by
Smash It Demolition Derby, who hosts Bash for Cash, Blizzard Bash, and Capital City Carnage. Online at smashitderby.com. And Stirring Dirt Racing, host of May Mania's team show at the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah, online at stirringdirtracing.com. Reckless Abandoned Derby Apparel and Derby Inc. Magazine.
This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FigureLinks1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York.